And I take heart from a bad example like this. So I find it very good. Because immediately after the closure of BBC World Service Arabic, guess what happened? Al Jazeera took over, and I was also lucky to be part of it. Hafez Mirazi, my colleague, who also had experience with both BBC and Al Jazeera. And we were part of what I would call the golden era of Al Jazeera. It was, of course, immediately a shock. In my opinion, reaction to Al Jazeera in the beginning went into three phases. Phase one was utter shock at the part of Arab governments who started sending envoys to the Emir of Qatar to wisen him up, putting some pressure on him. And when this didn't work, we moved into phase two, which was harassing journalists, imprisoning them, launching smear campaigns, especially in Cairo and in Riyadh. And when it didn't work, we moved into phase number three, which was actually, in my opinion, the very first step, actual step towards a new reality, which is, okay, we can't beat them, but we don't want to join them at the same time, you know? How about introducing something that looks like them, not only on a technical side? Now they have to compromise also on the editorial side, but it has to be done in a smart way. Now, things started to open up. And of course, if you, at the time, I mean, with the regime like Mubarak and the rest of it, we were like, you know, being cursed and harassed everywhere. Later on, of course, I left, Hafez left, among many others, when we started to notice a crucial change in the editorial line of Al Jazeera. But the credit has to go to Al Jazeera in as far as this is concerned. Later on is a different story, and I disagree with them fundamentally on certain issues. Now, then started a big turmoil in the entire region. The Iraq thing was, of course, preceded by the 9/11 attacks and Al-Qaeda, big story. And then an Arab capital as big and huge as and important as Baghdad falls down. And you get a U.S. administration, very hawky, very aggressive in the shape of the people like Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, and George W. Bush with them, and Condoleezza Rice now wanting to think a new future for the entire region. Now, Arab government started to notice this. I'm not talking about what we as journalists or even as just ordinary people felt about that. But certainly Arab government started that they are going to be forcefully democratized. That was the aggressive approach by the Americans at the time, which led to a twist in the issue. The twist was, unfortunately, it had to be from within the same media state of Nasser, giving the chance to some independent individuals to launch some newspapers, some TV channels. They had to get their license from still the commander of the media battalion in Egypt, Qaid al-Katib al-Alamiya in Egypt. They still had to get their license from him. They still had to be vetted by security. They still had to be judged whether or not they are either loyal and they can volunteer serving the regime, or at least they can be blackmailed in their businesses. So anybody who fitted this profile, they were in. But having said this, this is a very notable step forward in Egypt, because it gave the opportunity to, first of all, it really made the backbone of Nasser's media state look very meager and actually ugly, that they don't actually know how to do it. Because now we're talking about a businessman who is very much familiar with the market forces, and he wants his project to be a success. So he employs people who are rather professional, and they know, I'm not talking about the editorial line, put it aside a little bit. So it was a success from that point of view, and it did make the backbone of the Nasser media state look really lonely. So we get newspapers like Al Masri Al Yom, and then we move on, because that was, in my opinion, what gave the opportunity to so many of young aspiring Egyptian journalists. It also introduced some new values, and what happened on that day, the 25th of January, 2011. It was lucky that there was a little bit of a window for a voice of the revolution, and some people tried to be part of this. My colleague Reem Magid, my colleague Hafez Mirazi, myself, to really inform people of what actually was happening, because Egypt TV cameras were locked on the Nile, only a few steps away from Tahrir Square. That is a symbol of the autumn of Nasser's media state. مشربتش من نيلها. Camera locked on the Nile, nice and serene, a few steps away from it, Tahrir Square, with this picture. That is bankruptcy, in the full sense of the word, bankruptcy. Now, a new story starts, of course, with this new thing. But this is going to be a long story, and I would like actually to open the doors for some kind of discussion, and I don't want to be speaking for entire 2 hours. But from that point on, I would just say one thing before I conclude in terms of the main issue of this presentation, why I believe that this is the autumn of Nasser's media state. And this is not like I'm either happy or unhappy about that. In my opinion, it's gone through a full circle. The entire world has changed. It can't cope with new realities in the world. Apart from that new thing that I talked about, independently owned or privately owned media outlets like Al Masri Al Yom and On TV and Dream and the rest of it, there was a new thing, the internet. And nobody could stand in front of that. So we have a new reality. And as much as locking up the camera of Egypt TV on the Nile was that much of a symbol. Another symbol is when the revolutionaries managed to bring the head of the regime down, Mubarak. They actually started cleaning after them for the first time in history, probably, that a revolution cleans up after. And that was a statement far beyond the actual cleaning of the streets and the square. I have my own interpretation. Some people might differ with. They were actually making the statement that we are not dirty, like you've tried to make us all these years. And media were at the very heart of this. And this is why the revenge now is big. Thank you.